Welcome to the Bold Beans Podcast with your host, Bold Mama L. As a believer in possibility against all odds, I have spoken to thousands on air, on stage, in print, and in one-on-one sessions on the subject of boldness and fear. I created this podcast to help you become more confident, more vulnerable, and more authentic. In each episode, we will explore the frequency of boldness through real-life stories. And through those stories, you'll be provided with tools that can help you to reclaim and expand your birthright power and your freedom, your continued power and your continued freedom. Together, we will move beyond the secrets and the shame that block the power of boldness. Be sure to share with your friends and your family and your loved ones. Welcome to today's podcast. I am your host, Bold Mama L. And today's podcast is brought to you from Lagos, Portugal. And it is definitely a very interesting time on our planet. I'm sure wherever you are faced with some uncertainty, some unknown, some mystery. Maybe we can look at it as mystery. That might be a little radical, but it's kind of how I choose to see it. I actually have been talking about the unknown to my students and in my work for about 2 years now. And I basically said back in Sedona, when I was living in Sedona, that we're making a migration, a great human migration from living in our heads to living from our hearts. And so this very strange and sudden reality that we're all faced with will challenge whether you choose to live in your head or whether you choose to live in your heart. And you'll notice the difference between when you're choosing to live in your head and when you're choosing to live in your heart by how you feel in your body. So your body is almost like a GPS for, you know, where am I right now? And where you are is going to, yes, I'm going to say that it is going to determine the reality in which you experience. You know, I've been thinking about my life. I'm sure you've been thinking about your life when we're in a situation like this, especially a situation that we haven't experienced before globally. In most of our lifetimes like this, you'll probably, you know, do some kind of survey. Unless you're at the store looking for toilet paper, then maybe you might not do a survey. You might wait until you get back. But there's going to come a time, if it hasn't already, where you will be surveying what it means to be you and what it has meant to be you. And because I kind of practice, well, not kind of, no, I'm not even going to go there with kind of. I do practice what I preach. I practice what I teach. What I have decided is that we're not going to be able to get out of this one without looking at self. I'm not going to be able to get out of this one without looking at myself. And so that just brings me to this like daydream that I've been having that I'd like to share first. You know, I am not a grandmother, nor do I see myself being a grandmother in that kind of, oh yeah, she's a grandmother type of way. But this situation that's happening here on earth has me wondering what I would say to my future grandchild, a granddaughter to be specific. I have nothing against having a grandson. It's just that in this persistent daydream, it feels like my grandchild would be a girl. I've been getting these flashes about how I would articulate the way I've been spending my time with people, particularly. I've been sensing her cute little curiosity about who her grandmother was, and I've been seeing her wondering if I empowered people or if I was an enabler. I have a sense that she'd be drawn to my stories about practicing yoga and teaching yoga. And I have a really, really good feeling that my globetrotting tales would be a real treat. She feels far off in the future, but I'm really, really sure that she would love my fashionista moments. You know, the ones that are splashed all across the internet that I've been known to be seen in throughout the years. She's probably going to be a fashionista too. But I'm not so sure that she'll be satisfied with the answers to her questions about why I stayed in situations so long. You know, have you ever stayed in a situation for too long? I can sense her saying, "But Grandma, couldn't you see that frustration was a message? Isn't that what psychics are supposed to do, Grandma? Don't they see things?" Ooh, ouch. That was sting. Even in my imagination, it stings. So I can't let that happen. I can't pretend that this vision, that this daydream that keeps persisting isn't sending me a message from the future. And maybe this message that's coming to me is a message that might be, you know, relevant for you. I think it's relevant for everybody right now. I think how we've been spending our time and how we're going to spend our time is definitely right in front of our face. And some people don't know what to do with their time. They're trapped in their house and they're just like, oh my God, can they make Netflix shows come out a little faster? Which I think Netflix is actually doing. Yeah, how are we spending our time? Are we spending our time being authentic? That's the subject, the topic of today's show. Authenticity. You know, what does it look like to be authentic, and how boldly authentic will you allow yourself to be? In 2017, I was in Women's Health magazine. And in 2000, I was firmly planted in a state-funded facility called rehab. And this rehab had 100 residents. 50 were men and 50 were women. It was not uncommon to see gunshot wounds on people's bodies in this state-funded facility. And it wasn't uncommon to be at breakfast across from someone with a stitched slash on their face. Each of us had a roommate, and mine had a glass eye. She had been beat by her pimp with the back of a .357 Magnum. I had never seen a .357 Magnum, and she was the first person that I have ever seen with a glass eye. I was the only person there with a college degree. But that didn't matter for me. It didn't matter for anything. And it wasn't going to help me with any of the problems that were in front of my face. This wasn't a thinking game. Thinking is not something that's going to get you out of addiction. Thinking is not something that's going to get you out of fear, and it definitely wasn't going to help me while I was there. There was a lot of fear where I was, and fear inside of me, and fear around everybody that I could see. It's like a protection, you know, you got to like keep your guard up when you're in a place like that. And you got to fight. Sometimes you have to fight. People actually have fights. I found myself in a different kind of fight. I found myself in an authenticity fight. It started with a letter that I had sent home to one of my family members. My whole family hadn't seen me in over 2 years. They didn't know if I was dead. They didn't know if I was alive. And they didn't know how I ended up in California, thousands and thousands of miles away from Michigan, my hometown. I mailed the letter off, and then I went back to our room, and for a few days, I had my own space. And then there's a knock at the door, and it's like, here's your bunkie. That's the day when me and the woman with the glass eye meet. I'll take the bottom bunk, she said. I had already had all of my things on the top bunk. It was like my own little world. The sheets were so thin that you could actually see through them. And the wool blanket made you feel like you were at war. Oh, like one of those way back kind of wars. When I got the letter back from home, my roommate wasn't there, and I was so excited to read it. I was standing in front of this little mirror that we had kind of tacked up on the wall in front of this dresser that was probably loaned from, I don't know, some school detention center. Everything was pretty broken down, kind of like me. So there wasn't much excitement in this first letter after 2 years that I sent home, and it probably shouldn't have been. But it was one piece of information that completely helped to change my life. You look kind of healthy, but you look big. And I was big. I was 67 pounds overweight big. And if you just want to be on PC, I was fat. When you allow yourself to become that much overweight, you earn the right to call yourself fat. So I'm okay with that. And as I was standing in front of this probably donated from a detention center desk with this little mirror tacked on top, I thought to myself, there's no way I am going to continue to be the reason why I fail. So that became my fight. I wasn't from a different set or a different side of the city. I had no friends. I had no history with any of these people that were my neighbors. But I did have something that I wanted that they could stand in the way of. There's some people probably in your life that are standing in the way of something that you want. Or maybe you're the one standing in the way of something that you want. And if that's the case, just like with me, that's going to require a fight. A fight that will probably require authenticity. I made a decision that night that I was going to not allow food to be this thing that was my next thing. Now, when you think about addicts, you usually, particularly addicted women, you usually get a picture of a really skinny woman that's kind of itching herself or scratching her itchy body and missing teeth. But I didn't really use drugs. I was more of an alcoholic, and alcohol has a way of like making you bloated, particularly if you like just garden variety beer. So I showed up to rehab really big, and it was up to me to do something about whether or not I wanted to live the rest of my life sober and big. The first thing I did was stop having this like cheeseburger run that we'd have every month when we got our little $20 extra for you fund that came from the state of California. That's what we got after they pay our rent. And this was a big shock to the people that lived there. This was like a huge offense. I mean, this was like a giant outside of the tribe no-no. You mean to tell me you're not having any Carl's Jr.? No. What's wrong with her? She on a diet. To be hazed for your dietary choices might be something that you can only understand if you're listening right now and you're vegan. But when you're living with people who have done time and all you have is $20 to your name, that $20 is something that you would use to buy inclusion in the tribe. I know, because that's what I did for the first month that I was there. But this time I was ready for something different. I was ready to face being kicked out of the tribe. I was ready to be seen as someone who wanted something different. I didn't realize it at the time, but I was willing to fight for being authentic. I wanted to be true to my goal of doing something about being big. The next thing that happened is I said, well, if I'm, I have, you know, I cannot have this Carl's Jr., that's fine. But we had three meals a day and we all ate in the same cafeteria. We all stood in the same line and got the same mashed potatoes plopped down on our plates. And so when I decided to let the woman who ran the cafeteria know that I was not having those mashed potatoes anymore, I was not having that box cheese anymore, I was not having any more of those ham hocks, I was immediately written up for insubordination and I was given extra chores. But I was willing to scrub floors for my authenticity. Eventually, I was able to have a conversation with the head, the director of the whole facility, and I asked, what's that place across the street? And he said, oh, that's the community college. I could kind of see it from the top bunk out of the window, right if I tilted my head a little bit toward 3 o'clock, if we were looking at a clock. And I said, would it be possible for me to go there sometime? He said, oh, no, 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 90 days, you guys can't go anywhere. But let me see if I can make an exception. About 3 days later, I got called to his office and he said, you can go before morning meditation. Believe it or not, we actually had meditation. But the people in Sedona or any spiritual place like that would not consider 100 residents nodding out a room full of people meditating. But that's what we did from 7 o'clock to 7:30. And he said, if you can get up at 6:30 and you can be back before 7, you get 30 minutes that you can use to do whatever you want around that track. And so that very next morning, I was up and I was there and I was walking and I was huffing and I was puffing and I was sweating, but I was doing it because I had decided that I no longer wanted to be big. And then came problem number 3, on the quest to be authentically me. The group of women sitting in a circle, instead of doing chores, smoking cigarettes, gossiping. I had to make it between them to get to my room so that I could be on time to take care of my chores. So how do you make it past 2 feet up with two women that should be working on the big project like me, but instead decided they want to stay the same? You have to be brave. You have to be willing. And if you were me, you had to push one of those big legs out of your way. And that's exactly what I did. I was willing to do anything to be authentically me. I made it around that track. I got off of detention. I was in rehab for 6 months and I lost those 67 pounds. I lost the 67 pounds and I actually gained a few friends. When I look back on it, I kind of go, wow, in a way, they were my first clients. Me and 5 other ladies marching around before morning meditation on that community college track. And what did that teach me? Well, it taught me what I hopefully am sharing with you today. When you fight for your authenticity, you shine. You shine a new path. You shine a new way. And when you shine, other people will want to shine with you. I'm thinking to myself, okay, so what would I tell my future granddaughter at the end of this podcast? What will I tell her about how I spent my time? Will I tell her that I was able to empower people? Oh, 100%, absolutely. Am I reevaluating these small little ways that I might be enabling people? Oh, 100%. Absolutely. Because let me tell you this, in spiritual circles and in personal development circles, there is a such thing as bullies. Please believe it. And they will bully you just as much as the bullies sitting with their legs pressed up against the wall smoking cigarettes when I came back from walking around the track. How will they bully you? Well, they will bully you by wanting more of your time. They will bully you by wanting more of your energy. They will bully you by wanting more of your guidance, particularly around things that they have no intention to do anything about. Yes, there are bullies in spiritual, personal development, yoga, etc. circles. I'm sure in the vegan circles too, if I was a vegan cook or something like that, but I don't cook yet. That's probably going to happen on my 60th birthday. But if you're a person who decides that you're ready to grow or that you want to grow, you have to keep your eye on the bullies. Because the bullies will keep you from being authentic. They will convince you that it's perfectly okay for you to stay the same. Not everyone is an addict. Not everyone has a glass eye. Not everyone is big. Not everyone has some sort of really pressing issue that they must change right away. And because of that, there's a mild sense of people wanting you to compromise your authenticity so that you can stay with the tribe and stay the same. But you have a fingerprint that only you have, just like I have a fingerprint that only I have. And you have a change that only you need to make, just like I have a change that only I need to make. And my hope is that to see or hear what happened and that rehab will give you the courage to stand up and say, today is the last day. I'm willing to fight right here, right now, if necessary, for my authenticity. And you know what I hear in the back of my mind? Oh, Grandma, that's so sweet.